This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
A good problem to have.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Hybrid cars are selling so well, Toyota can't keep up with the demand. Today, Toyota said it needs to make more hybrid batteries, but doesn't have the production space to do it. And the company says it can't add new assembly lines until at least next year. So I wouldn't expect the Prius to drop in price anytime soon. U.S. automakers have the opposite problem. They're closing assembly lines and shutting down plants. But Chrysler has an idea. It plans to lease some of its space to a Canadian company. Amy Scott reports.
If the deal goes through, Chrysler says it will lease part of its Kokomo, Indiana transmission plant to Canadian parts maker Linamar. Chrysler workers will provide the labor. They'll start out making parts for Chrysler's new fuel-efficient engines and transmissions, but they could also do work for other Linamar customers. John Cassessa runs a firm that advises and invests in the auto industry. As U.S. truck sales continue to slide, he expects to see more creative strategies like this one. He says you might even see GM and Ford get together to share plants.
These individual companies don't have enough volume in their plants to support those facilities and those jobs anymore. So it makes more sense to work together rather than to have two separate plants running at low capacity.
The Chrysler-Linamar deal is expected to close sometime this summer. A Chrysler spokeswoman says the company is exploring a similar partnership at one of its Canadian plants. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
In Asia today, the stock markets finished 2 to 3% higher. European shares are seeing small gains so far. Wall Street really needed Friday's session. The Dow climbed 165 points to give it a 1% gain for the week. NASDAQ added 2% Friday, which prevented a big loss for the week. Today, the Senate may vote on the year's biggest tax bill. It would fix the alternative minimum tax and extend tax breaks to companies. But the House is threatening to kill it if those breaks aren't paid for with tax cuts or increases somewhere else. Steve Henn reports from Washington.
Congress is stuck in a fierce fight over how to pay for tax extensions. Many American businesses are caught in the middle. Greg Whetstone at the American Wind Energy Association says his industry could lose a $300 million annual tax credit at the end of the year. That's already taking a toll.
It's much harder right now to get financing for 2009 projects. We've reached the point of the year now where investors are making decisions.
The Energy Department estimates wind could generate 20% of America's electricity by 2030. But
if we're going to achieve that, we've got to continue to grow at the rate we've been growing. This kind of a setback is going to make it much harder.
Other industries are affected, too. The country's research and development credit expired last year. The information technology industry estimates that's already cost the economy $8.4 billion in lost growth. In Washington, I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
In a few years, I'm sure kids will have no idea what a telephone book was. Tomorrow, Christie's will auction off one of the first telephone books. It was published in New Haven, Connecticut in 1878. The book has instructions like greet people with a hello and report anyone using profanity. It's expected to fetch $30,000 to $40,000.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree, where you can choose up to 4 customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. by the Medtronic Foundation, working to reduce heart disease, the number one killer of American women, by supporting Women Heart. Information at womenheart.org. And by Clarkson Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat, available now.
Saudi Arabia says it will start making more oil, 200,000 barrels a day, about 2% of its production. The Saudis believe the price of oil is unreasonable and unsustainable. But they just increased production last month, and oil traders ignored it and kept buying.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. I'd love to hear your take on the price of oil, or at least Wall Street's take on it.
The people I respect on Wall Street, whom I've dealt a long time, their sort of universal opinion is that the price of oil is now sort of in bubble territory caused by a variety of things. And the way people like that, and to some extent people like me, think is about the time you start reading everywhere, oil is going to 200, plan for this, this is permanent, that's the time it's about to end and change. And I think that's what's going to happen. I just don't know when it's going to happen.
And that's just kind of a bubble theory?
Yeah. There's always a rationale for what's happening. At the height of the real estate bubble, it was baby boomers are all retiring, everyone's going to have a million houses. And now, at what may be the height of the oil bubble, it's China, it's India, not enough refineries. Mm-hmm. There are all of these explanations for why oil really should be $140 or $150 or $170 a barrel, and they're all after the fact.
Well, if this is actually a bubble, are we assuming then that the supply-demand aspect of this isn't as strong as some people are making it out to be?
Right. I think a lot of what's going on here is financial speculation. People have made a lot of money betting on oil, and I think that's happening with a lot of the commodities, and you can make a supply and demand case, but I don't believe it. And I can't tell you why I don't believe it, and I can't demonstrate logically that it's wrong, but I don't believe it.
How much of this do you think is being driven by fear?
The stock market is more fearful now than usual. I would say a lot of it. I just don't think that what's going on in many cases is rational. And if it's not rational, it's going to come to an end, because it always does.
So you're kind of going with a gut feeling here, Alan?
Yeah. And if you saw me, you'd know my gut is ample.
All right. Alan Sloan from Fortune Magazine. Thanks.
My pleasure, Scott.
In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.